evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is September 9th, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, I'm out in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm going to be here for 3 weeks, and the weather is beautiful. It's great to be here. We have a lunch with Catherine in Dallas, Texas on Sunday, October 9th on the way back. And I'm working on a Saturday night dinner in Tulsa on October 15th for a very special event. Hold that date and stay tuned for more next week. I'll keep you posted. Our theme tonight is the rutting season is on. Let me just read you an excerpt from Wikipedia on the rutting period or the rutting season. The rut is the mating season of ruminant animals such as deer, sheep, camel, goats, and Asian and African antelope. During the rut, also known as the rutting period and in domestic sheep management as tupping, males often rub their antlers or horns on trees or shrubs, fight with each other, wallow in mud or dust, self-anoint, and herd estrus females together. I used to always call September 15th to Thanksgiving the rutting season because it seemed like Washington and Wall Street went into the budget squeeze during September. The new budget comes out in October, and then everybody fights, and that fight can lead to a market crash at the end of October. That's usually the most difficult time. And for about 2 months, people stop acting civilized. It's always very tense, and it certainly feels like we're headed into the rutting season again this year. We've seen a lot more information come out from the FBI and various sources about the Clinton investigation. Normally, I wouldn't talk about this, but it's so extraordinary. We have immunity given to a Clinton staff who destroyed email after they received a subpoena. Now, and after the Clinton attorney informed them not to destroy email. So this is extraordinary. This is clear criminal obstruction of justice. Then we also have a significant number of devices, 18, lost or destroyed, with reports of devices being destroyed by aides with hammers. I mean, come on, we're really talking about very serious obstruction of justice, criminal felonies. And we know at least one aide lied about knowledge of the private server. Clinton's closest aide basically said she had no idea Clinton had a private server, but the aide had an email address on the private server. So how could this be? And of course, we saw the attorney general brief Bill Clinton prior to the FBI interview with Hillary Clinton, and the announcement that more than 50% of the people who Hillary Clinton met with as Secretary of State donated to the Clinton Foundation. So you have multiple clear-cut felonies. You have multiple obstruction of justice. You have clear intent described in a variety of different ways. And it almost leaves you with the impression that Hillary Clinton could have machine-gunned half of the FBI investigation team, murdering them during the interview, and she wouldn't have gotten indicted. So we're in a situation where it's becoming a real joke. And that is a problem because it's so blatant that the law just does not apply to Hillary Clinton and the Clintons. Now, let me make things worse because the rutting season this year is going to get gruesome. And I don't like talking about gruesome things, but unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about it. At the top of Soleri.com, I put up the CDC proposed rulemaking. If you want to know why there's so much hoopla about football players not saluting or standing at attention during the national anthem, I suspect it's this. You know, you're trying to distract people from seeing what's really going on. The CDC proposed rulemaking is basically saying that the CDC, if they have suspicion of susceptibility or potential exposure to or infection by a virus, has the power to incarcerate a person and force them to be vaccinated. It's so over the top and outrageous that it's frightening. I have a link to a description of it and then a link to the actual proposed rulemaking. They're accepting comments between now and October, third week in October. Essentially, when you have a rulemaking in the government, you have to publish it in the Federal Register and accept comments for some period of time. And I suspect this one is going to go pretty quickly. My guess is what this is about is the push to chip and subdue the population. You're talking about doing things physically to people that make them much more susceptible to mind control and entrainment, as well as once you get a chip in everybody, then you can start to launch digital currencies and basically turn on and turn off people's money if they don't behave. I noticed before I left Tennessee, the local Walmart had moved registers into more intense register lines so they could create a very large vaccine area right at the front near the registers, which is absolutely frightening. So somebody wrote in and asked about the push to cancel cash. That is connected to the push to, surreptitiously chip the entire population. At the same time, we have what I would call a Zika whiteout media campaign. If you read John Rappaport, you know there's essentially zero to de minimis number of Zika cases worldwide. So this is another phony baloney scare tactic. There was an editorial in Wall Street Journal that looked like an inversion of all my comments on autism from Vax, looking at the cost per person of somebody getting autism. They're talking about the cost per person of somebody getting Zika and how that will overwhelm the education and healthcare system. It really, it's a Vax / autism whiteout campaign, and it's very cleverly done. I've had people who consume large amounts of media when I bring up Vax or vaccines, heavy schedules of vaccines and their connection to autism. They suddenly do a complete non sequitur and start attacking me over Zika. And you think, what did the two have to do with each other? Well, Zika's clearly a whiteout campaign. It's more than that. We're getting reports from, even in the Washington Post, that the Zika spraying is wiping out the bee population. You'll see an article up at Salarian Top Picks, millions of honeybees killed by Zika mosquito spray. And so, so there seems to be also an effort to control the food supply very aggressively. It's one of the reasons I got a link from Sam Smith today. He had linked to an article by George Gohl, G-O-E-H-L, in the American Prospect. Let me just read it to you. The issues, it's time for progressives to outline the big campaigns we want to drive through cities and states and up into the national discourse. The issues include tuition-free college, a massive green infrastructure program, health care for all, ending mass incarceration and criminalization, progressive taxation. Sanders supporters attended rallies, signed petitions, made phone calls, and donated money. It's time for this movement to organize their neighborhoods around the issues that matter most to their community. These are all great issues, but the reality is when you have very significant entrainment technology and subliminal programming being used, and you have global spraying, which is basically putting the equivalent of chips inside people, and vaccinations that are doing God knows what, including driving autism into the stratosphere in terms of the numbers. You know, we have to start talking about the gruesome things, and it's why I always despair of a certain portion of the body politic, because they're busy being a day late and a dollar short. Here's what you can do to break this whole situation wide open. The leadership is doing this because they cannot afford to take risk. And the reason they cannot afford to take risk is not necessarily because the general population is dangerous. It's because they're dangerous. It's what I call the Midianite thing after the story of Gideon in the Bible, where the Midianites jump up in the desert and kill each other. If you look at the leadership, they're so evil, and for good reason, they're so distrustful of each other. That they can tolerate very little risk. And of course, now that the global system is so levered, that they're enormously risk averse, and that risk aversion keeps causing them to want more and more and more control. The way to break the trance is to make the Midianite thing happen, Let them kill themselves as we bring on more transparency. So shine the sunshine on this. Please take a look at that commentary at the top of Soleri.com. We talk a lot about this in our interview with Sophia Smallstorm next week. She's really been a leader in trying to connect the dots between the different technologies used for sort of invisible control. But we really need to make this a socially acceptable topic to talk about, because if we can bring real transparency to it, we can stop it. But I assure you, it's going in a very dangerous direction. Money and markets. U.S. dollar index is stabilized almost at 95. It's at about 94.95 late this afternoon. Interest rates traded up a little bit. The long treasury now at 16.05%. The intermediate treasury ETF almost at 7%. The bond aggregate still at about 5.5%, and junk's back down a little bit. The junk ETF at 12.4%. Equities continue to do well. The S&P is up 8.3% for the year. Home builders up 5.5%. Europe is now up 2.7%. The developed markets away from Germany is up 4.23%. The developed markets away from North America up 3.25%. China flying. We now have China large caps up 11.4%. The small caps are now up 4.75%. So China very much now in the black for the year. The emerging markets almost at 19%, up 18.94% for the emerging market ETF. But if the Fed bumps interest rates, that could disappear quickly and China could go the other way. The commodities index up now 5.3% for the year. Gold had a good, has had a good run since September 1, is up 25.75%, doing a little bit better, although correcting today. And then silver 41.17%. Oil came back a little bit. It's still down 5.3% for the year. It went down as much as 13% last week. Rambus has a post on the Energy Select Spider ETF and shows a possible significant move to the upside. Interestingly enough, as the G20 meeting met this week, Saudi Arabia and Russia announced an agreement to cooperate on managing the supply of oil and the price. A very interesting situation is unfolding on the high seas. The largest Korean cargo shipping company has filed for bankruptcy protection, and that has thrown both creditors and ports around the world in a position of uncertainty. It's left 85 cargo ships floating in international waters, most of them unable to unload their cargo, some of them even running out of food. And of course, you have people with about $14 billion of goods trying to get their goods out from under creditors who seize ships or ships that are just sitting in the water. It's a nightmare. The same thing, or very similar thing, has happened to me this year. We had our coins made at a mint that got involved in litigation. And you had a court order slapped on the company. And the next thing you know, the question is your die, or does it belong to the creditors? And you end up in a food fight. We were lucky. It just took our time, but we were able to assert control of all of our supplies. But it means a lot of time and effort to move to a new mint, make a new die, etc. So watch out. Creative destruction and global slowdown means this is going to happen more and more. So you need to manage your risk accordingly. If you're dependent on a company or a vendor, you need to make sure that you know sort of what your liability is if this should happen. A great weekend report from Rambus called the End of the World History Chart. It shows his long-term sort of read, given where the market is today, is a long-term bull in equities. It certainly fits with what's happening fundamentally. We see headlines this week of the ECB being pressured to buy equities. They're pretty much running out of bonds they can find, and we're really at negative interest rates on significant sovereign bonds globally. Swiss Bank continues to buy equities. Of course, the Japanese have been buying equities. So that certainly fits with what Rambis, as a technician, is showing. He never looks at fundamentals. But what he's saying is, you know, he's heard that the end of the world is coming year after year after year, but it never does. And it's time to kind of look at things as they are. It's a very charming post, and it's up at the website. You have to log in because it's for subscribers only, but I recommend it. The G20 meeting in China was eventful despite the tensions. Everybody wants growth. Europe wants China to stop dumping cheap steel, which China promised it would do. And there was sort of grumbling from many different sides about what's going on in the South China Sea. But I think the Chinese were pleased. It was relatively uneventful. Good for Jack Ma at the time of the G20 meeting. He put out gave a great talk and basically said, we can trade together or we can have wars. Which do you want? The headline, it's up on the top picks, is Wars Start. Jack Ma, wars start when trade stops. And I couldn't agree with him more. We're coming into the September, of course, and the Fed is coming up in the third week with the Open Market Committee meeting right after the start of autumn. And we see the San Francisco Fed president coming out calling for higher rates. So there's clearly people on the Open Market Committee who want higher rates. So it's going to be an interesting discussion. We'll be Fed watching until that announcement gets made. If they don't bump it this time, they really need to bump it in December. But of course, we're seeing a little bit of rising interest rates this week, and maybe that'll give some relief to the financial institutions. General Motors has settled ignition switch litigation. This was a situation where a lot of people died as a result. And every time the litigation came to a moment that would attract attention, we've seen a pattern of DOJ suddenly attacking foreign automakers, creating very distracting headlines. And attacking foreign automakers for things that either didn't kill anybody or if it did, it was significantly less than General Motors' ignition switch problem. So we're hoping with that litigation settled, we'll see DOJ stop attacking so many foreign automakers. I posted a commentary on the road in Las Vegas. I spent 5 days last week in Las Vegas. I pointed out my favorite book on Las Vegas, which is Sally Denton's The Money and the Power, The Making of Las Vegas and Its Hold on America. It's an outstanding description of some of the history and relationships that got Las Vegas going and have kept it going. One of the things I pointed out is that as of 2012, Las Vegas had 152,275 hotel rooms spread across a total of 355 hotels. When I was there, it was astonishing. And one of the things you can see, the squeeze on the middle class is really a squeeze on Las Vegas and the companies that make money from being, quote unquote, the entertainment capital of the world. The Trump International Hotel Tower is over Las Vegas. You get this huge building and it says Trump emblazoned at the top. And you can clearly see why it makes economic sense that a casino developer would want to make America great again. Again, the squeeze on the middle class is not good for the casino industry. It's not good for Las Vegas. And that's going to be true of a lot of other corporations that have grown up serving the middle class. Our hero this week, we've got another group of terrific heroes. One is Richard Dolan. Did a video interview this summer. It's up at the top of Geopolitics this week. You can tell from listening to it, it's on Disclosure, but you can tell from his work, he's been writing for a year a book on false flags, and you could tell that that has really brought home to him the extraordinary evil that is occurring in the leadership of the United States. And it's a remarkable interview. It's very, very moving to see him communicate how profoundly disturbed he is. Martin Wolf, lead financial writer for the Financial Times, had a great editorial last week on nurturing democracy. It's also linked, we put it up in a commentary, basically saying inequality and the absence of democracy makes for a poorer economy. And if we want to be rich and successful, we need to nurture democracy and address the inequality. And he's absolutely right. And then finally, I just have to mention Rambis this week as well. His courage in writing what he wrote about the equity markets. You know, given what's going on in the world, we want to say, oh, the equity markets are going to crash and everything's going to fall apart and burn. The reality is we're in a situation where we can watch millions of people destroyed and burned, and the equity markets continue up. And so the equity markets are not in alignment with the best interests of the human race, and it's critical to get them that way. So Rambis understands some of the things that are giving economically or giving strength to the equity markets, including the fact that the middle class globally is growing. It's not shrinking, it's growing. So, but it's a very courageous post, and I encourage you to read it. Two groups that will not be named as heroes, if anything, they're anti-heroes this week, the CDC. Anybody at the CDC who is willing to put out that rulemaking or have anything to do with it, I mean, I can assure you if I worked at the CDC, I would walk away rather than put that rulemaking out. There's no excuse for that kind of immorality. And then the Department of Homeland Security suggesting that they ought to take over the local election boards. You know that Hillary Clinton is in trouble when she starts proposing that the Homeland Security take over the local election boards on the theory that they're being hacked by the Russians. I assure you, if the Russians are hacking the local election boards, it's at the request of the syndicate backing Hillary Clinton, and certainly not on their own. Let's go to the movies. I watched about 2 months ago an unbelievably sobering documentary. I guess this is Gruesome Week on the Salieri Report. It's a review of what's been happening to people, the financial and emotional expense of what can happen in the U.S. divorce machinery, including the family courts. I really think every family should educate itself about these risks and the dangers of involving lawyers and formal legal actions in courts. I've been through two divorces and was able to navigate them very successfully, but it's an exceptionally dangerous thing to do. So if you're getting a divorce, please go to private mediation. Do not get involved in the courts. If you're getting married, sign a contract that you agree to go to private mediation or some kind of process like that if you split. But definitely watch this and just realize that a family can, with some net worth, can go into the divorce process, and the lawyers and the courts end up with your net worth and you end up with nothing. Okay, the interview. Great interview with Charles Hugh Smith, an author I love. He had two fabulous articles recently that we talk about. The burrito index and revealing the real rate of inflation would crash the system. Charles estimates that the real rate of inflation is about 7 to 13% a year. One of the things he uses is the cost of a burrito at his local burrito truck or taco truck. And I agree with him. The squeeze coming from inflation is very, very rough. And I've talked a lot about how I'm particularly concerned about the rate of inflation squeeze in terms of quality food. Interestingly enough, right after we recorded this interview, the Wall Street Journal came out with a big article about how deflation is lowering food prices and helping consumers. You know, I shop for groceries all over the world, and I just haven't seen anything to support what the Wall Street Journal is saying if you look at the total bill net. But take a listen and check out Charles's work, because to deal with this, you really need to see the phenomena and be able to address it. And there are many different ways and many different strategies. But first of all, it's important to see what the real rate of inflation is. And you certainly won't get that from listening to the government or the official statistics. Okay, ask Catherine. We have a great number of questions this week, and one of the reasons that we're moving the Ask Catherine section behind the discussion of the movie and the interview, because it used to be a short section, but we can see it's getting to be long. So it's going to be now the last section in the Money and Markets. Several of you sent me the video of the SpaceX explosion and the destruction of the satellite made by the Israelis for Facebook that was going to be tootling around Africa providing internet services. I think that explosion is very interesting, and could it have been sabotage? Easily, yes. Who knows what the answer is, but if you watch the videos, and again, there's no way to know whether or not they were fiddle with or not, but it certainly looks to me like something very unusual is going on. Hi, Catherine. It's the first of the month, and I just wanted to say that the Future Professions article pretty much covered all the areas that I've seen in the banking system. The Future Professions was a book review that Jason Worth wrote for us about the book by the Susskinds. It's a father and son. Son teaches at Oxford, called The Future Professions, and it's basically talking about what artificial intelligence will do to the white-collar professions. Anyway, let me continue. I read that article and was like, oh, darn, they nailed it. I got nothing to report. Confirmation to me this past month came when I talked to the gals at the farmer's market. They all agreed that the low staff level coupled with a high amount of remodeling going on that is downsizing the actual physical locations is a pretty good indicator that of what was disclosed in Future Professions article. I just want to note, if all over the country, what you're seeing is more and more shopping online and more downsizing throughout the whole retail establishment. On my end, the only thing I can add for the month is cleaning the banks. A cricket hopped up on the table. I thought, how appropriate. The spirit animal for the month of these guys. It has been so quiet traffic-wise. I'm allocated 1.5 hours at each stop to tidy up. Last year and a half, it took me at least an hour and almost an hour and a half across the board to get things done. 40 minutes tops now. I have been cleaning their chairs and baseboards or whatever I can think of to make it what I consider a fair trade. So, you know, secret downsizing. There was an interesting picture this week of a Kmart's and putting big sheets up so you wouldn't notice all the empty shelves. Hi, Catherine. I was inspired to hear you say to John Rappaport that what is needed is for humanity to recognize that we create our own reality. I hope you found time to read The Nature of Personal Reality and or the Seth material, both channeled by Jane Roberts. And then they go on. I tend to be very careful about channel material. There's a small amount of it, which I read, and some of it I consider to be credible. But I think a lot of it is channeled by the intelligence agencies and secret societies, not to mean that the people channeling it know. I think a lot of them don't know. So I think you have to be unbelievably careful, and it's one of the sources where I read for ideas, but I don't assume that they're anything else other than fiction until I can corroborate them or affirm them by different methods and different ways. So I would just encourage everyone to be very, very careful about channeled material. Then the post continues. It'll be in the notes, but it's very long. One of the things they say, quote, in sum, our species or race is facing its most momentous choice between love and creativity on one hand and hatred and discretion on the other. I couldn't agree more, and that's why the key, I think, or one of the keys for love and creativity is to bring transparency, including to all the gruesome stuff. We just have to basically sit in a place of great love and health and say, you know, come on, people, this is not okay. And we're not going to pretend you're not doing it because you are doing it. It needs to be, you know, we need sunshine. Dear Catherine, thank you so much for taking the trouble to answer my question in your latest Ask Catherine segment. Your answer gave me confidence in decisions and steps I recently took. I'm also amazed that you answer each and every question that gets sent in. Now that is truly taking care of your subscribers. I just wanted to share something regarding privacy, specifically email privacy. Do you or have you looked into getting an email account at protonmail.com? The site encrypts emails from the sender and decrypts them at the receiver's end if they're also a Proton user, using a public key as well as a separate private key. The private key belongs only to the user and is not known to or saved by the email server. Here's the thing. Proton Mail is based in Switzerland and was created by scientists and engineers who work at CERN. Group who created the World Wide Web also explains the name Proton. I'm hoping it is a trustworthy site. I'm just a bit concerned as it was created by scientists at the home of the Hadron Super Collider. However, I also read that European-based email servers are better for privacy protection than, say, U.S.-based ones because of those countries' stricter laws. I bring it up because other subscribers may be interested in it too. That is, if you think it's worth a look. Thank you again for all you do in your website. Becoming a Solarius subscriber is one of the best decisions I ever made. Oh, I'm very happy to hear that. I use SmartMail, which was StartMail, which was recommended by Catherine Albrecht, who I have great respect for. So I haven't tried ProtonMail, but I agree that the laws in Europe are more supportive of privacy. I can't tell you if ProtonMail is trustworthy or not, but I will put it on my – it's in my parking lot to take a look at. I do think it makes sense to get a an email if you don't have your own email, to get an email service that really endeavors to keep you private. I think it's worth doing. Just because you have it, though, don't assume you have privacy, because if you look at the most powerful intelligence agencies, I believe they can essentially hack anything. So don't assume that it's private, but I think privacy is a good practice because it's not a zero-one issue. There's a great deal of organized crime out there fishing for information to use that could harm you. So I wouldn't worry about the most powerful intelligence agencies in the world. I'd worry about, you know, extensive global organized crime and do everything you can to stay private. First, I would like to thank you for your honest information coming from you and the people you interview. It's hard for me to trust anyone these days. I know how you feel. I do believe you're living the golden rule. I'm trying, but, you know, there is always opportunity to improve. I have a new project and would appreciate your opinion. Currently, I'm learning all I can about mortgage notes. Any books on the subject that you can recommend, please let me know. Looking into converting my Roth IRA to an LLC to buy subprime mortgages. Experience has shown me the only thing you can't fix on a building is paying too much. Looking to move to the Sunshine State. Want to sail the Caribbean before I'm too old. I've seen people do very successfully on buying subprime mortgages when the market, you know, when the bubble in the housing market is rising, which it is right now. I think the way to do it is you need to find a source, an originator who's very, very good at what they do and knows how to underwrite and knows how to prune the strong subprime or the market worthy subprime mortgages, the borrowers from the not market worthy. And if you can find a good originator, you can do very well as long as the bull stays rising. A couple of things in these kinds of situations, you want to have, you don't want to over concentrate. So you only want a percentage of your assets in this kind of activity. And then you want to make sure you're not dependent on too many. You want to spread your risk among different mortgages. So it depends on how you're organizing and who's originating, but ideally you have a diversified total portfolio, and then within your subprime mortgage portfolio you also have some diversification. Not necessarily by place. It's okay to concentrate by place if you're in a place where the market is strong and rising. So, but each one needs to be very, very carefully and thoroughly underwritten, and that's why if you can you can find a very solid and successful originator, that's the way to go. If you're working with a Roth IRA, then you need to, you know, you don't have to put your IRA in one place. You can split it up into multiple places so that you certainly don't have to over concentrate if you're doing this. And I wish you good luck on that. Again, you want to be in an area of the country where Global 3.0 is strong and rising. Hi, Catherine. I heard you mention that there was a connection between the Las Vegas casinos in Area 51 and also between the Atlantic City casinos in Cuba. There is a new MGM casino being constructed in the Washington, D.C. area at National Harbor. Is there any particular reason Mr. Global wants this casino built, or is there no ulterior motive at all? That's fascinating. I think one of the reasons is things are so tough that someone like MGM is there's no growth opportunity in Las Vegas. So whether you're going to Macau or going to a place like Washington, you have to go where the money is. So I'm assuming that's one reason. There's no doubt, and I'm not saying that this is why it's being done. Having a large facility right there in the middle of Washington is a great way to launder money to the right winners. So I could see many kind of things going on, but it really, traditionally, the people who wanted money laundered kept it out of Washington and New York. You know, it was going to be in Cuba, it was going to be in Atlantic City. So it's interesting that they're bringing it right into the heart of the Capitol. In a way, it's not a good sign. I have appreciated this Larry Reports having listened to you on USA Watchdog. I have two questions and a suggestion. Have you heard of Benjamin Fulford? And if so, is he reliable for information? I never rely on Benjamin Fulford. You know, he has a large flow of information. I think some of it's fear porn. Sometimes if somebody brings me information he's provided, I'll use it as a signal to check it out. So it's like a bell ringing, and then I go check it out, and sometimes it checks out, and sometimes it doesn't. A lot of times I can't get enough information to know one way or another. But I would be extremely careful, and, I would put a lot of it under the category of fear porn, which can be an addiction and cause real harm. Financial situation, refugees. I started reading on Drudge someone from the IMF or other global entity stating that they were going to change the financial structure of the world, and this was their most ambitious endeavor yet. Then the refugees started pouring in, and George Soros encourages the governments to spend more to pay for more refugees. My question is this: are the banks in trouble due to debt, or the elites wanting a new global monetary system, possibly a combination of all of the above? There are many things going on at once, so I don't think it's simple, but the reality is that, one, you have demographic problems in Europe and the United States, which are encouraging lots of immigration. You have the elites trying to remain in control, and doing this kind of immigration not only helps support the debt with the demographics and the labor force, but it makes it much easier to entrain, manipulate, and control the field, along with all the many other things that are going on. To a certain extent, you're engineering incoherence, and that always makes it easier to control. Then they continue, if I may make a suggestion, you know how you have series such as food series? How about a series on communication? If everything goes down, there won't be telephone or TV service. How will people communicate with each other to know they are okay? Just a thought. Well, that's a great idea. I'm really loving doing the food series, and that will be going on for some time. But I think when the food series is over, I'd like to pick up and do additional series. So I really appreciate that. Good afternoon, Catherine. Thank you for responding to my question on Dr. William Mount this past Thursday. I'm glad you thought it was confusing, because I sure was lost. I have been enjoying the Salieri Report today. I began listening to Space-Based Economy and the interview concerning spiritual warfare. I found it interesting you brought up the subject of sin and how it affects our communities. I wonder if you've heard of the book, The Revenge of Conscience, Politics, and the Fall of Man. No, I haven't heard of it, but I went to Amazon and put it on my wish list. I've got so many books ordered. I'm scared to buy another one. I'm way over budget. He said the same thing about the burden of sin building in the community. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list. If you like it, let me know. I'm curious to see how it goes. Perhaps I need to make it next book after I complete The Devil's Chessboard. You're going to like The Devil's Chessboard. That's a great book. I liked hearing the demographics of the Salieri Group and could relate to the member who asked if he was the only working stiff. If memory serves me right on the phrasing, I'm a working stiff also and looking forward to leaving my current phase position. I'm not going to say who they work for. I work for XXX as a paper pusher, and the issues they are promoting is making it difficult to stay. Yes, I can imagine. I would say our demographics are very interesting. We are Northern Hemisphere, so the majority in North America, both America and Canada, and a fair amount of people in Europe and Asia as well, all English-speaking. So it's really our market is the English-speaking world. We have a few people in the Southern Hemisphere, but it's pretty much Northern Hemisphere. They have a remarkably wide net worth. I think the highest net worth that I'm aware of is a couple $100 million. And although we have people from market research firms who subscribe, and from what I can tell, they're subscribing for people or companies with even higher net worth. And then we have, at various times, we've had subscribers who read us, they're homeless, and they, you know, if you're homeless, we give you a complimentary subscription, and they read us from the library. So, but what's interesting is they all are passionately committed to freedom for not only themselves, but everybody else. And you can't, the 99% versus 1% just does not apply to Solari. We are a group of people who are defined by our commitment to freedom and to positive action. It's very interesting to watch. Last Sunday, I learned from Benjamin Fulford's site that the U.S. Justice Department was bringing a civil action against the Prime Minister of Malaysia. Who do you think is involved? I have been watching the Malaysian situation for a while now. This has been going on for several years, and it's quite a drama, and I have not figured out yet what is really going on. I think some of it relates to the politics of the South China Sea, but it is clearly going to a whole new level, and I do have it on my list to take a harder look. So thanks for the question. I returned to work on Monday to learn it's time to take my annual code of conduct course. One section covers reputational risk. Could your head just explode? That is unbelievable. Oh my God, I can't imagine taking an annual code of conduct course on reputational risk. Oh God, God love you. Anyway, thanks for the sanity. It helps to clear my head. Hi, Catherine. This site has charts analyzing our amazing national debt. My questions are as follows. It's basically, what do you do with the annual debt? The problem is not the debt. There are many different ways of dealing with the debt. The problem is we need to understand what the governance system is, what the rules are, and where all the money is disappearing to. So right now, the system is increasingly being run as a slavery system where money is being harvested and stolen. And debt's not the problem. The problem is governance. And there are many, many different solutions on the debt problem, but not until you face and deal with the governance. So that's why I keep yapping about it. I would really encourage you, if you're concerned about these issues, to take a look at the second quarter wrap-up. We're going to be publishing the PDF next week at long last, and I think my discussion of productivity will help you tremendously. Hi, Catherine. Imagine my surprise when you mentioned Simon Parks. Didn't know you went down that rabbit hole. I'm sort of a Simon, only different, if that makes sense. Some time ago, I was encouraged to understand how one manifests reality and to encourage others to do the same. Since you already have a large audience and a belief system that's open to the topic, as in John Rappaport and Simon, I'm sending this note to encourage you to keep plucking away at that subject. As you know, those in power understand this, how to manifest, which is why movies like Hunger Games are being rolled out to us. This is their preferred reality. If the general public could learn to understand that if we can vision it, we can construct it together, we could change the world. Amen. I agree completely. We are all creating, but we are doing it unconsciously. Totally agree. Conscious creating isn't difficult. It only takes awareness of one's belief system, thoughts, words, emotions, and what one is focusing on. Unfortunately, most are allowing mainstream news to do the focusing. I know you know all of this. This is simply a prodding for you to continue to help others see it. Good prodding, and I really appreciate it. I need it. Are you familiar with Bruce Lipton, a medical researcher who has a great video, The Biology of Belief? I've put up some Lipton on the under top picks, some of his videos. I have his latest book and have to read it. Keep up the good work that you do. Thank you very much. Great post. Have you seen either of this? And the subscriber sends the CDC's quarantine proposal and then something from NPR called The Curse of Cash and a new book that's promoting the idea that we should have a world without paper money. Smart question for Ask Catherine. There is a very deep and important connection between why they want to be able to vaccine people or to vaccinate people and put chips in them and the cash, because if you want to go to very tight both mind control and financial control with digital currencies, you need everybody to get chipped. So it's I'm delighted to see you see the connections. Then the subscriber says, I'm loving the Solari report. Thank you abundantly. Keep up the fabulous work. Hi, Catherine. Can you tell us if this week is the beginning of a pop in the college bubble? And then they talk about the ITT technical college being shut down. Taxpayers may be on the hook for $500 million in student loans that the students will be eligible to discharge. The Wall Street Journal wrote, ITT's biggest mistake was not putting Bill Clinton on the payroll. Apparently, other for-profit colleges have given millions to the Clintons or their foundation. Maybe we will have more failures among the trade schools. Perhaps the overpriced cooking schools, which cost tens of thousands, and cooking jobs at fine restaurants just don't pay that much. The cooking shows and the Food Network really herd students into that profession. I suspect, you know, this was a very interesting case because clearly the government brought ITT down. The marketplace didn't bring them down. So rather than let the market decide which capacity should be shrunk in the private school market or the private college market, the government really made it happen. And so, but what that says to me is deflation is upon us. It's a sure sign of deflation. The debt finance growth model is over. We have to go back to fundamental productivity. I would much rather see the market decide who wins and who loses rather than government. But this is a sure sign that the deflation is happening and it's going to continue. So I expect more. Hi, Catherine. Breaking news on my local TV station. An elementary school in Oregon City, Oregon, is using kids' fingerprints to identify them in the school lunch line. Parents were not notified. Many parents are upset, and the ACLU is apparently getting involved, asking exactly who has the fingerprints, where are they going to be kept, for how long, etc. The school is defending this procedure, claiming it will move the kids along the school lunchtime faster. Okay, this is very important. It's all part of this push to chip and create human collateral livestock systems. It's not okay. Now, I've said, if you read my foreword, which I published to Dr. Joseph Farrell's new book on Common Core, the public schools are no longer safe, whether it's, you know, the online systems, whether it's the testing, whether it's things like this. It's just, unfortunately, I really encourage you to read that. It's up at Solari. It's the foreword to his new book on Common Core. You have to log in. It's for subscribers only. But I basically explain why you're going to have to find alternatives to educate kids and grandkids other than the public schools. They're just not safe anymore. Catherine, I would like to invest in Russia. What are the sources to go to, and do you have any tips or recommendations? Then they say, may the force be with you. So I'm avoiding Russia just because you've got a real political situation, and you could go down to zero on this. You know, you could see the Russian ETF get pulled off the exchanges. You know, there's all sorts of stuff. Obviously, you can get around that if you get a foreign account and buy in a foreign account so that, you know, hopefully you don't get wiped if the U.S. and Russia reach a certain point of tension. But this one could be very dangerous, so just keep that in mind. If you do want to do, again, as I said before, as I said earlier in mortgages, you want to limit the percent of your total assets, you know, that you put in Russia. So, only invest what you can afford to lose. And whatever you do in Russia, you need broad diversification. One way to do that is with one of the Russian ETFs, or the other option is to stick with small amounts in companies with very inelastic demand, essential purpose, that have good dividends. You can get very attractive yields right now in Russia. There's no doubt about that. But the safest thing would be to go at it. The safest way would be to go at the really good, strong, essential service companies with strong dividends and do it in a foreign brokerage account so you don't get wiped. Although, if you're a U.S. citizen, you could get wiped anyway. So please just make sure you don't put in more than you can afford to lose. Okay, that's it. In closing, next week we have a great interview with Sophia Smallstorm, All the World is a Stage, one of the clearest thinkers and one of the most fearless people in terms of facing what's really going on in terms of the hidden technologies of control. Then September 22nd, now that we've published the productivity section for the second quarter wrap-up, or will next week, I want to talk about rebuilding a local economy. So we'll pick up after the discussion on productivity and where the real problems are and start talking about, okay, what do we do about it? And then September 29th, the Saker is going to be back with the multipolar world. And given what's been going on this summer and the meeting at the G20, we have a lot to talk about because, Brzezinski's now said, well, the unipolar world didn't work. So now the America is going to have to adjust to a multipolar world. If Brzezinski's saying it, then Saker's really in the catbird seat. So that'll be a fascinating conversation. So until September 15th with Sophia Smallstorm, All the World is a Stage, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.